Now we're holding at the very bottom of Kufches Zayin on the day's last few words. The Mishnah said, "Lefichach anachnu chayavim." The Mishnah had told us the nusach of the bracha that we say before Hallel on during the Seder, and then that we say Hallel, and afterwards we say the bracha. So we said the bracha there finishes off the noima lefon of Hallelujah. So that's going to lead now into a discussion of this word Hallelujah. Now there are two ways of thinking about it. One is that Hallelujah, the Yud K, means Hashem's name, as you have in many places. So it would mean praise Hashem. The other possibility is that you can sometimes you have words in Tanakh that end with a Yud and a Hey, where it doesn't specifically mean, at least on a Pshat level, it doesn't mean Hashem's name. For example, in Tefillah LeDavid, before Shir Shoyim, you have the line, V'itzalta nafshi mishael tachtiya. Tachtiya doesn't mean the tachas of Yud K, it just means low down, like as if it said like tachas or tachtim or whatever. And you have other examples like that also. So the same way, Hallelujah can just mean a different form of the word Hallelujah, or praise. So with that, so the Gemara is going to discuss that. Amr of Chista, Amr of Yechanan, Hallelujah. Also, V'kesia, V'yididia, Achashein, all of those words, it's all written as one word. In other words, the Yud and the Hey are not written separately. They don't necessarily mean Hashem's name. Also, so Hallelujah. Also, Kesia, you have at the end of Parashas B'Shalach, after the war with Amalek, where Moshe says, Ki Yod al Kes Yud Ke, Milchama L'Hashem B'Amalek Midoder. So again, Rav Chista and Rav Yechanan are telling us that it's not, now we have it in our Sefer Torah, Kes, and then separately, Yud Ke. So it means the chair, the throne of Hashem. But he's saying that, no, the word Kesia over there is actually all one word. And the same thing, the word Yedidya, you have in Sefer Shmuel, it tells how after Shlomo was born, Nosin HaNavi came and told them that he has a new name. Besides Shlomo, he's also going to be called Yedidya, meaning the friend of Hashem. There also, the Yud and the Hey are written together with the rest of the word. It's all one long word. It's not divided into two. Rav Omer, Kesia, or Merchavia Achasein. Rav says Kesia, yeah, and also Merchavia, another one that we have in Hallel. Minameta Karasi Yudke, Anoni Ba Merchavia. So is the first one is definitely Minameta Karasi Yudke, the Yud and the Hey there, definitely mean Hashem's name. But the end of the pasuk, Anoni Ba Merchavia, is that Hashem answered me in wideness, or is it again that Merchavia is just another form or an intensified form of the word wideness? So Rav is saying also the word Merchavia is written as one word. Rava Omer Merchavia Bilvad. Rav says only the word Merchavia among all these words that we listed is one word, but all the other ones are two. For example, according to him, you would write Hallelujah and then space Yud K. And the same thing, case, space Yud K, and the rest of them. So, what would Rav Chista say on the word Merchavia? He didn't have it in his list. He only had Hallelujah, Kesia, and Yedidya. Rav is the one who meant Rav and Rabba are the ones who mentioned Merchavia. What would Rav Chista say about that? And the answer is we're not sure. We can't be sure what Rav Chista would say about that. By the way, Marsha points out with these things, it's not necessarily that was saying that the Yud and the Hey over there doesn't represent Hashem's name at all. I mean, you can have, the same way as, for example, you have names like Yirmiyah and Zechariah and whatever that include Hashem's name, and they are. They're named after Hashem's name. The difference is that if if we say that the Yud and the Hey are written separately, then it's an actual name of Hashem, meaning that you wouldn't be allowed to erase it. If you say it's just appended to the word, like Hallelujah is all one word, then it might well refer to Hashem's name, but you'd be able to erase it the same way as in principle, for example, a name like Yeshaya, you'd be allowed to erase the Yud Hey. People are annoyed to write a Yud and then a tick by such names in order to be careful about not erasing Hashem's name, but technically you don't need to do that. And there's also the difference, there'd also be the difference, would you be allowed to write it across two lines, which we're going to discuss soon in the Gemara. For example, let's say, for example, you say that Hallelujah, or Kesia, or whatever, let's say you say they are two words, would that mean you'd be allowed to write Kes at the end of one set, at the end of one line, and Yud K at the beginning of the next line? Or would we say, even if they're two words, maybe you still have to write them on the same line, because they're still tied together, kind of? So
the name of Hashem, the name of Hashem is Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei. I mean, it's not Yud-Kei. Hashem said it's Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei.
There's more than one name of Hashem, right? Depending how you count them, there are 7 or 10 names of Hashem that you're not allowed to erase, besides Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei. You also have Elohim and Shakai and Tzvokos and Adnai and so forth. And yeah, Yud-Kei is one of those names. Definitely, if Yud-Kei is written as a name of Hashem, then you're not allowed to erase it. So the question is, in these words, fine, maybe it refers to the name of Hashem, or maybe it doesn't even at all. Maybe it just refers to maybe it's just an alternate form of the word, like you said before about Tachtiyah, for example. But if you say that it's a name of Hashem, is it actually written separately? In which case, you're not allowed to erase it, or is it appended to the end of the word, to the end of the word Hallelujah or Case or whatever? And in that case, you'd be allowed to erase it, and vice versa. If you say it's two words, does that mean it's two words even to the extent that you can write them on separate lines, or maybe not, maybe you'd still have to write them on the same line?
Where do we know that Hashem has so many names? Because
what do we know? Because basically Hashem referred to with many different names. So we see that Hashem is referred to with many different names throughout Tanakh. And so the Gemara tells us in Shavuos that there are a number of names of Hashem that einam nimchokim, that have kedusha, and you're not allowed to erase them. By contrast, you have a number of other things. You have various terms that are used to describe Hashem: rachum, chanun, it's a tzaddik, etc. Those you're allowed to erase. But these are all, so to speak, personal names of Hashem, and therefore you're not allowed to erase them. That's how it is. That's the halacha. And the Rambam lists 7 of them, a different counting of them, based on counting different forms of some of them, comes out to 10. The Alpi Kabbalah, each of them is associated with a different one of the 10 spheres. Yeah. That's how it is. Okay. So according to Rav Chista, the word Merchavia, we're not sure because he didn't have it on his list. Iboyle, who Yedidya L'Rav Mai, what would Rav say about Yedidya? He mentioned from Rav Chista's list, the only one that his list and Rav's list has in common is Kesia. Rav didn't refer to Hallelujah, and Rav didn't refer to Yedidya. So what would Rav say about Yedidya? So Toshma, we can prove the Amar Rav Yedidya Nechlak L'Shnayim. The word Yedidya is divided into two. L'fichach Yedid Cho Yud Kei Kodesh. Therefore, the word Yedid, which means friend or beloved one, is a regular word, and you're allowed to erase it. But the word Yud Kei is Kodesh. And when he says Nechlak L'Shnayim, that means, in other words, it can't even be written on separate lines. So you could, if you're going to write according to that Masorah, then you could write Yedid on one line and Yud-Kei at the beginning of the next line. Which comes up, by the way, in Halacha, and because Yedidya is a name that's used nowadays, so if you're writing a get, for example, then it's Negei Halacha, whether you write it as one or two words. So in Shulchan it mentions that usually you write it as one, but if you want to write it as two, then there's no big deal about it, because we see in the Gemara here that that can be written as two. In our Tanakh, when it comes to Shloima, it is written as one. It is written as one word. Okay. Iboilahu Hallelujah L'Rav Mai. What would Rav say about Hallelujah, which again was on Rav Chista's list but not on his? Toshma de Omer Rav, that we can prove because Rav himself says, Chazina Tili de Bei Chaviva, I saw the tilim in the house, in the yeshiva of my uncle, which is Rav Chista, Dichtibuhu Hallelu B'chadgisa, the Yudke B'chadgisa. They had in them, in some of the places where it said Hallelujah, you had Hallelu at the end of one line and Yudke at the beginning of the next line. So that shows that it is two separate words, and therefore, so it means that Yud-Kei there is a full-fledged name of Hashem, and therefore you can't erase it, and it means that it doesn't have to be connected with the word Hallelujah at all. So the Gemara points out, Pliga de Rabbi Shurban Levi. Now that understanding and that shita disagrees with Rabbi Shurban Levi. The Amr Rabbi Shurban Levi, my Hallelujah, Halleluhu b'hilulim harbe. Rabbi Shurban Levi says the word Hallelujah means praise Hashem with many praises. In other words, the Yud and the Hey at the end, the Yud and the Hey at the end intensify it. You actually have, there are a few places in Tanakh where you have words that in order to intensify them, a Yud and a Hey, or sometimes Aleph and Lamed, another name of Hashem, Kael, are appended to the end of it. For example, you have near the end of Shir Shirim, you have Shalheves Yah. So many of the Mephoshim say that what it means in Shalheves Yah means an intense flame, but in order to intensify it, that it's a style in Lashon Kodesh, that you add Yud and Hey to it, like as if it means the flame of Hashem, but really all it means is a very intense flame. In Tillim, for example, you have Harei Tail, you have other examples like that. So Rabbi Shimon Levi is saying that the word Hallelujah, the Yud and the Hey, is part of the actual word because it means to intensify. It means praise Hashem with many praises. And the Gemara continues, Pliga Didei Adidei. In that case, then, if we understand it that way, then it means that what Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said contradicts something that he himself said. The Amr Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Ba'asorim Ha'amores Shal Shevach Ne'emar Sefer Tehillim. Sefer Tehillim is written with 10 different lashonis throughout Sefer Tehillim. You have 10 different expressions of praise to Hashem. B'nitzuach, we have kapitlach that are captioned lamnatzeach, b'nginois, or whatever. B'nigun, also b'nginois. B'maskil, you have kapitlach that begin lamnatzeach, maskil, l'dovid, or whatever. B'mizmer, b'shir, b'ashvei, b'tehillah, you have some kapitlach, like kapitl kuf mem hei, it begins tehillah l'dovid. B'tfilah, tefillah l'dovid, tefillah l'moshe, etc. B'hoidah, you have ones that begin with an expression, ones that begin or that contain an expression of thanks to Hashem, and the Hallelujah. And he says, Gadol mikulon, Hallelujah, the greatest out of all these 10 types of praise is the word Hallelujah, shekoyel Hashem v'shevach v'vasachas, because it includes the name of Hashem and praise all in one word. So that means, according to that way of looking at it, he is saying that Hallelujah is, in fact, one word that includes the name of Hashem, that includes Yud-Kei in it. So then that, on the face of it, disagrees with what he said before, that the Yud and the Hey over there is not a name of Hashem, but just intensifying it. Now, again, according to those Mephoshim on Shal Hevesya and other things like that, maybe it's not totally a contradiction, because we're saying that sometimes Yud and Hey are used to intensify something, like by Shal Hevesya. So the same way over here, it can mean the fact that we're using those letters, Yud and Hey, for that purpose, which are, after all, a name of Hashem, that's a great thing. But in terms of the actual translation of the word, then it wouldn't mean praise Hashem. It would just mean intensified praises. Okay. Fine. So that's that then. So you have different opinions about these words, about these words, Hallelujah, and these other words like that. Okay. Next, let's talk about Hallel. Where does Hallel come from? So, Amen of Yehuda Amashmu. Shir Shabbat Torah, the song that we have in the Torah, the song of Oz Yashir, Moshe v'Yisrael, Amru b'shal sha'olu min ha'yam. Moshe and the Jewish people said it, as we know, from the Pesukim, when they came out of the Yams. What about the Hallel Zeh mi Amrei? Who was it that first said this Hallel that we have in Tillim? As the Gemara is going to point out soon, we say it on many different occasions. We say it while they're shechting the Korban Pesach. We say it while we're waving the lulav. So where does it come from? Is it just that David one day sat down and wrote it, or is it more than that? So Nevi'im shebeinehem tiknu lahem liYisrael, the Nevi'im among the Jewish people made a takana for the Jewish people. Sheyu omrim oseh al kol perek v'perek, that they should be saying it for every perek. Rashbam explains, by the way, most of the Rashbams on this are printed on the previous Amud for some reason. But anyway, so the Rashbam explains, perek v'perek means every yomtiv that comes from the Torah. Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkos, the Nevi'im made a takana that they should say it by every perek and by every perek. But I'll call tzara v'tzara shalaytovay aleihem, and for every tzara that should not come on them, which is a nice way of saying, meaning that if a tzara chas v'shalom comes on the Jewish people and then they're saved from it, then they should say Hallel. There's even a different understanding of it that it means that even during the time of the tzara, they should be saying Hallel to ask Hashem to thank them and to show that they have bitachon that Hashem will save them. And then when they're redeemed from their trouble, or when they're redeemed from a galus, then they say it in honor of the Gola. So that's where Hallel comes from, in other words. So the Nevi'im made a takana that we should say. So right now he's not specifically addressing when it was written, but at some point we're saying the Nevi'im among them, which includes Moshe Rabbeinu himself, Aaron, Miriam, other people at that time who were Nevi'im, made this takana that it should be regularly said. So in other words, it was composed at that time. There is, by the way, there are some of the Gaonim in their lists of mitzvahs that actually count saying Hallel as a mitzvah, as one of the 613 mitzvahs. The Rambam very strongly disagrees with that, partly based on this Gemara over here. What do you mean? If we're saying that the Nevi'im made a takana, so therefore it's not. In general, the Rambam says anything that's midrabbanon, and that includes even if Moshe made a takana, because if it's not something that he received from Hashem, then it's still considered midrabbanon. So therefore, if it's midrabbanon, he says it's not counted as one of the 613. On the other hand, the Ramban then goes and disagrees with the Rambam a lot on it and says maybe the basic concept of Hallel is daraista. We're just saying that the Nevi'im then composed an actual text for it and then said that we should say it at certain times. Maybe the concept of praising Hashem at these times, maybe that itself is daraista. All right, so we're going to get back soon to... So we're going to get back in another line to the question of when Hallel was first composed. But first, Tanya Hoyer of Meirim, Kol Tushbochas Amuris Besefer Tilin, Kulam David Amrin. All of the praises of Hashem that it says throughout Sefer Tilim, David actually composed them. Meaning, even the ones that have other people's names on them. So for example, you have Lam Naseach Livnei Korach, Tefillah LeDavid, etc., etc. But all of those, actually, David composed them. In other words, what he did is, with many of them, he took material from older sources and rewrote it and incorporated it into Tilim. But it all comes from David's pen. Actually, Rashi over here says a little bit differently. We don't mean all of the tishbachas, all of the praises of Hashem throughout Tilim. What we mean is specifically the kapitlach that begins Tfilah. Now, the problem with that is that most of them have names on them. A couple of them say Tfilah LeDavid explicitly. So we know those were written by David. You have Tfilah LeMoshe and you have Tfilah LeAnikiyata. So we're not talking about that many chapters. So it's a little hard to say Kulon. Anyway, Shenemar, we know this because the pasuk says Kolu Tfilos David Ben Yishai. At the end of Kapitel Ayin Beis, it says the Tfilos of David Ben Yishai are ended. Now, on the face of it, that would mean only up to Kapitel Ayin Beis is David's, and later not. But the fact is, we find many Kapitlach later in Tilim that are also attributed to David. And we're not just going to say, Marshall says, we're not just going to say Ein Muktum Uchavatora. So it means Al Tikri Kolu Ela Kol Elu. So don't read the word kolu as if it said kolu. They are ended, but kol elu, all of these, meaning all of these tefillas and all of these tishbachas that we have throughout Tilim, all of them were written by David. Kol elu tefillas David min Yishai. An interesting thing that everyone once pointed out, you know, we have the minhag that a person says a kapitel for their age. That minhag may have already existed in David's times. Now, the Gemara tells us at the beginning of Brachas that Kapitel Aleph and Beis of Tilim were originally one long Kapitel. So therefore, it comes out that Kapitel Ayin Beis was really originally Kapitel Ayin Aleph. Therefore, that would have been the Kapitel that David said when he was 70 years old, which is how old he lived to be. So in other words, the last Kapitel that he ever said as his annual Kapitel would have been Ayin Aleph, which now we have as Ayin Beis. And therefore, at the end of it, he put Kol Tfilos David Ben Yishai in token of that. But now his Tfilos are ended in the sense that now he's not going to be saying this Kapitel anymore during his lifetime on this earth. But nevertheless, as the Gemara is saying over here, it means also the word that he picked the word kolu to represent kol elu, to represent the idea that even the kapitlach after that were also composed by David. Okay, getting back to Hallel. Hallel zem mi omrei. Who originally said the Hallel that we say, the Hallel HaMitzri, we call it, by the way, because the focus of the first part of it is Yetzias Mitzrayim. So who originally composed that Hallel? So Rabbi Yossi says, my son, Elazar says, Moshe v'Yisrael amru b'shar sha'ol min hayam, that Moshe and the Jewish people first said this Hallel when they came out of the Yam Suf. So in other words, besides that they composed and sang Oz Yashir, they also at that point composed Hallel. So they said, because it says B'tzeis Yisroel Mitzrayim and Hayom Ra Vayonos, later on David took it and incorporated it into Sefer Tilim. V'chalukin Olav Chaverov. Now Rabbi Yossi continues, Rabbi Lazar's Chaverim, the other Tanoim of that generation, disagree with him, Loimer, and they say should David Omrei, that David himself first composed it. And Rabbi Yossi continues, V'nirin dvarav medivrein, it seems more logical to accept Rabbi Lazar's opinion more than the opinion of the other Tanoim. Because if you're going to say that David HaMelech first composed it, and David lived 400 odd years after Yitzhak Mitzrayim, after Yisrael shocked us, Nischein v'notul l'veihen, how could it be that all those years Jewish people were shechting their korbanos Pesach and taking their lulavim, the loy amru shira, and they never said shira from Yitzias Mitzrayim until David 400 years. They're not doing it. We said, but we learned before that when you're shechting the korban Pesach, you have to have shira, and when you're taking the lulav, also you have to have shira. So it has to be that they sang something, and you're not going to say that previously they sang something else and then that was replaced by Hallel, because there'd be no reason to do that. Whatever was good enough for Moshe Rabbeinu and Yeshua and the rest of those generations to say should be good enough for us also. Therefore, Rabbi Yossi says it's more logical to accept Rabbi Elazar's opinion that in fact Moshe and the Jewish people first composed it right after Yitzias Mitzrayim, and then we had it by us since then. Later on, David incorporated into Tillim. Dover Acher, another point, Rabbi Yossi says, during David's times, Pisle Shal Micha Oymed Bevechim, how could it be that Micha's idol is still standing in Bechi, which is the name of a place, V'Yisrael Oymrim as a Hallel, and Jewish people are saying Hallel, where in Hallel you have Atzabeim Kesef Vizav, Kemoyam Yiyu Oysehem. Now Pesel Micha. Now on the pasuk expresses it that Pesel Micha was standing. First it was at Micha's house. Later on, Shevet Dan stole it from them and took it to their land. And the pasuk says that it still continued to be there ad yom glois ha'aretz, which means until the day when the land went into Golos, which is long after David's times. So it means that in David's times, the idol of Micha was still standing over there. So how would that fit with that? All of a sudden, at that time, David is going to be composing Kamoyim Yuasem, Kerla Shabbatech Behem. It wouldn't fit. So therefore, it's more logical that it was composed at the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim, before Pesel Micha even existed, and then after that, they continued to say, and then even after that, even though Pesel Micha exists, they didn't take it away, they continued saying Hallel. Marsha points out, actually, there are Gemaras that tell us that they actually had Pesel Micha with them when they crossed the Yamsuf. So then I'll enter back to the same question. And the answer is, Marsha says, then they had it in hiding. So fine, it's not such a big deal for them. If Pesel Micha exists, and the only ones who know it, let's say, and next to nobody knows about it except for Micha himself, then fine, then there's no objection to Moshe and Aaron and the rest of them at that point composing Hallel. But if you say that in David's times, when they had Pesel Micha publicly, that they should first compose Hallel, he says it doesn't shtim. You have to ask the question. Let me say this, and let's see if it answers your question. You have to say, I mean, David is going to allow Avodah Zarah, is going to tolerate Avodah Zarah being in Eretz Yisrael. There are actually some of the Mefarshim on the Pasuk say that Ad Yom Glois Ha'aretz means until the Oren was captured from Mishkan Shiloh, and in that case, that's before David's times. But Or Gemara seems to be saying it still existed in David's times. So, okay, maybe it was. I mean, you know, you had there were people who were able to find various Hakadim for things. So maybe they were able on that basis to keep it around and not have David remove it, or maybe they hid it whenever David's soldiers would come around. But in any case, it was known that it was there. And what are we going to ask? How is it possible that they were able to do all these things with that pestle? So actually, there's a Gemara someplace, or a Medrash or something, that says that this is an example of L'cha Hashem Atzdok of Alonu Boishas Haponim, that Hashem does kindness for us even when we should be so embarrassed. We've carried through Pestle Micha through the Yamsuf, and yet the Eibishter didn't say, forget about it, let him just drown. No, the Eibishter still did a chesed and allowed us to cross the Yamsuf and to have all the other nissim. Mm-hmm. Apparently, at least at that point, you had, according to those Gemaras, it seems that you actually had. Now, I mean, it's also possible, sometimes when the Gemara says such things, it means them figuratively. One possibility is it could mean that the ideas that eventually are going to give rise to Pesel Micha already existed among the Jewish people at that time. They hadn't gotten rid of them like they should. But maybe the actual physical Pesel Micha was built only later. Okay, but in any case, the Gemara is saying over here that in David's times, the actual physical Pesel Micha already existed and still existed, and so therefore it wouldn't have been an appropriate time to be composing Hallel, and that the Jewish people would have accepted it, so therefore it has to mean that Hallel was actually composed earlier. Okay. But yeah, it's a good question how that's possible that all these things could happen and then they have Pesel Michal of them. Yeah. Yeah, the Mon, well, the Mon actually even more so. It says the Medrash mentions that the Jewish people, when they brought, it says they brought Korbanos to the Egel, they actually took their portion of Mon of that day and offered it to the Egel. And still, the Eibishter still continued giving them Mon the next day. It shows the tremendous chesed of the Eibishter, despite the fact that they really messed up. Yeah. All right, onward. Tanan Rabbanan. All of the various songs and praises of Hashem that David writes in Tehillim, what are they mainly referring to? Rabbi Eliezer Omer Keneged Atzmei Amran. Rabbi Eliezer says mainly they're talking about events in his own life. Rabbi Yeshua Omer Keneged Tzibur Amran. Rabbi Yeshua says he's writing them about things that are happening or that did happen or will happen or whatever to the Tzibur. I forgot to mention, actually, when we said that Pisle Shal Michal Omid Bevechi, that Ashbam brings a second explanation. The first explanation is Bechi is the name of a place. The second one is it's actually a derogatory way of referring to it. It means that it was standing there with Simcha, but because it's an Avodah Zarah, we don't want to speak in a nice way about it. Like, hey, if we want to use a derogatory term, so they've always named it Bechi, like it's standing there crying, but really we mean the opposite. People, it's standing there with Simcha, so how would that fit with Hallel being composed there? Okay. So turn around on it. Kol Shiras V'Tishbachas Shama David B'Sefer Tehillim. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Keneged Atzmei Amran. Rabbi Eliezer says he said them about events that happened to him himself. Rabbi Yeshua Omer Keneged Tzibur Amran. Rabbi Yeshua says they're primarily about things that happened or will happen or whatever to the Tzibur. For example, he had Nevuah about that the Jewish people are going to be in Golos and he davened for them. Now, for example, right, so Rashbam explains, definitely the ones, not Rashbam, the Marsha explains, definitely the ones that are captioned with events from David's lifetime, there's no question he wrote them about those events. Mizmul the David Baruch now Shalom B'noi, Bevochim B'nei Shol B'ma'ora, Be'achozos Plishtim B'gas, etc., etc. So there's no question that those were written about David's personal experiences. And on the other hand, you have some that are clearly referring to the Jewish people as a whole. The question is the ones where it's not specifically one way or the other. Minastam, the default, is the default that most of them are written about his own life experiences, or that the default is that they're written about the Jewish people, and only the ones where it's specifically captioned something with David's life doesn't mean that he composed them about a personal experience of his. So that's the machlokes. Yeshman Keneged Tzibur, Yeshman Keneged Atzmei. The Chum say, even among those ones that are stam, that are not captioned one way or the other, some of them are about Tzibur, some of them are about himself. The difference is, Hamuris Beloshin Yochid Keneged Atzmei, the ones that were written in singular form are about himself. Hamuris Beloshin Rabim Keneged Tzibur, the ones that are written Beloshin Rabim are referring to the Tzibur. Now, of course, since Lev HaMelech Lev Ko Yisrael, then even the ones that are written Beloshin Yochid about David personally, it's not just David, the man who happened to live a few thousand years ago. It means David, the king of the Jewish people, the heart of the Jewish people, and therefore it still has relevance for us now. But primarily, then it was written about a personal experience that happened to David, which motivated him to write a kapitel. Okay, next. Now, we said before the different kapitlach of Tehillim have different captions. Some of them say lamnatzeach, some of them say minigines, some of them say maskil, etc. So what do each of those terms mean? Nitzuach v'nigun la'osid lavoi. When you have a kapitel that's captioned lamnatzeach, or where it says minigines, it means it's talking about something la'osid lavoi. So the Rashbam says, where do we get that from? I don't know. They just had a Kabbalah that's how it is. Marashah explains, especially the word lamnatzeach, it means it comes from the word netzach. And netzach means forever. Netzach selavoid. So therefore, it refers to something that will exist for all time, something that refers to the future of the Jewish people. Maskil ayde turgamon. When you have a kapitel that's captioned maskil, like lamnatzeach maskil, levnei kairach, or whatever, it means that... It means that David said it through a maturgamon. Means, in other words, that he told it to somebody else to then announce it and sing it for the public. So maskil, like it has to be understood. That's the job of the maturgamon is to make things understood to the people. So it means, in other words, that those kapitlach, David or Bnei Korach originally, whoever wrote them, said them in a short way, and then gave it over to the turgamon to explain it to the public, and then and tell them and to explain it to the public what the deeper idea is behind that kapitel. Yeah, yeah. So right, okay. Now, sometimes you have some kapitla are captioned L'David Mizmer, and some of them are captioned Mizmer L'David. What's the difference? L'David Mizmer, when it says first L'David and then Mizmer, Melamed Shesharsa Olav Shechina, means that first he had Ruach HaKodesh, first he was on the level of David, V'acharkach Omra Shira, and then he said Shira because of that Ruach HaKodesh, whereas when it says Mizmer L'David, Melamed, then it teaches us the other way around. Sh'omash Shira V'acharkach Shesharsa Olav Shechina. First he said Shira, and then from that the Shechina came to David. So in other words, there were times when David was in a difficult situation or in a bad mood or whatever. So then he would start composing a kapitel tilim in order to bring Ruach HaKodesh onto him. So Mizmer, he started singing first, and then from that would come the David that he has Ruach HaKodesh. So Yaakov, yeah, because all the years he was sad over Yosef, he didn't have Ruach HaKodesh, exactly. Right, but in other words, so David would arouse Ruach HaKodesh on himself in these cases by first singing. The Rashbam says through the singing, then the Ruach HaKodesh would come on David. So this teaches you the Shechina doesn't rest on a person. When before from being lazy, the loymetech atzvos or being sad, the loymetech schoik or from being being inappropriately happy like silly, the loymetech kalos roish or kalos roish is even more than schoik, like making fun, the loymetech dvarim betelim or from idle talk, elametech dvar simcha shal mitzvah. Only when does the shechina rest on a person from a simcha shal mitzvah? So like this, in other words, the simcha shal mitzvah over here is that David would start singing with the intention of having Ruach HaKodesh rest on him. So that's the simcha shal mitzvah. Shenema, you have a similar case with Elisha. Ba'ata choli menagin. Elisha, you have a story over there where Melech Yisrael and Melech Yehuda and Melech Edom come to him to ask him for help. And Elisha is angry that Melech Yisrael is coming, because you're an Oved Avodah Zarah. What are you coming to me all of a sudden now when you have trouble? Go to the Nevi Ahbal. You might as well go to the Nevi Ahbal. And they plead with him, please don't do that. We're in deep trouble over here. And so Elisha says, fine, but V'ata Choli Menagin, now bring for me a singer, because that way it'll get him back in a good mood. Because now, before he was angry at Yehoyash, at Yehoram, Behoyach, Nagin HaMenagin, and as the singer was singing, and well, if I hear all of Yad Hashem, then the hand of Hashem was on Elisha, and he was able to say Nevuah. So you see that Nevuah and Ruach HaKodesh rests on a person through Simcha Shal Mitzvah. But they also, at Simcha Shal Mitzvah, he has the musician playing in order that the Ruach HaKodesh should be able to rest on him. That's the Simcha Shal Mitzvah. Well, in the end, so he tells them that you're going to have water, like this, they're traveling through the desert, and they were running out of water, Hashem is going to make it rain, and Hashem is going to make it that you're going to defeat Moav, who you're going to fight against. Okay. Right now he just told them a nevuah of what's going to happen, that Hashem is going to do a chesed for them, right? Okay. Amar of Yehuda, Amar Rav, v'chein medvar halach. So Rav Yehuda tells us in the name of Rav, the same thing is true as far as a matter of halacha. If you want to be able to learn halacha and be able to understand what the halacha is going to be and be able to paskin it, you can't do it mitzvah atzvos or atzvos or whatever. You need it to be from simcha shal mitzvah. Amar of Nachman, v'chein l'chaloyim toiv. The same way, if you want to have a good dream, then go to sleep with simcha. And the frame of mind that you go to sleep in is going to affect your dreams. So the Gemara says, now we said as far as v'chein l'dvar halacha. So the Gemara says, Eini, is that so? You're telling me when you're learning so not just when you're passing halacha, when you're learning a dvar halacha, in order to be able to learn Torah properly, you need to be in a frame of mind of simcha shal mitzvah. Is that so? V'ha'amar of gidol amar rab, just the opposite. Kol tamad chacham ayoshev lifnei rabbi, if a tamad chacham is sitting in front of his rebbe, the ein sif sois of notfus mar, and his lips are not dripping with bitterness and with fear, Tikovena, his lips deserve to be burnt. Shenemar, the pasuk says in Shir Hashirim, Sifsois of Shoshanim, his lips are like roses. Notfos moreover, they're dripping with myrrh, with flowing myrrh. Myrrh, there's two opinions among the Rishonim. As we know, it's one of the spices of the Kodesh. Myrrh, Ktiya, Shabbos, Nerd. There's two different opinions. The Rambam holds its musk, taken from a gland from a certain animal. A number of other Rishonim hold that it's myrrh taken from a plant. Whatever it is, the point is, the pasuk says that his lips are flowing, are dripping with flowing myrrh. And al tikri sheshanim, don't read the word sheshanim, which means roses, elo sheshoinim, the ones who learn Torah. And al tikri moreover, elo maror, over. Don't read myrrh over flowing myrrh, but rather flowing bitterness. And in fact, one explanation is, so where do we see the point that his lips should be burnt if he doesn't do that, is because the word over can also be rearranged to make the word boyer, which means burning. So you see, in other words, that fakir, the person has to have a sense of yira when he's learning Torah, not a sense of simcha shel mitzvah. So the answer is, like Kasha Haba Rabba Haba Talmid, there's no contradiction. One's talking about the Rebbe, one's talking about the Talmud. The Rebbe has to be teaching Mutoch Dvar Simcha. The Talmudim have to be in a mass of Yira Shemayim and Yira for the Rebbe and Bittu. The Boisema Haba Haba Rabba, or another possibility is both of them are talking about the teacher. But like Kasha Haba Kamid de Pasach, Bahala Basa de Pasach, one's talking about before he starts teaching, and the other one is while he's teaching. Kiha the Rabba, as we have the famous example of Rabba, became the pasach lo the Rabbanon before he would start teaching the Chachamim in the Yeshiva. Amar Milsa de B'dichasa, he would tell them a happy thing or a joke, or Badchu Rabbanon, and they would laugh. All of a sudden, Yosef Be'emsa, then after that he would sit with Ema, Be'ema B'yira, B'resus of Azia, with total bittel, or pasach B'shmaita, and start teaching. So even with the Rebbe himself, you have a difference between before, and the Talmudim for that matter, you have before the learning and during the learning. We have in Tanya, in the Wedding Mimer, in many places, you have the idea that you start with that, and that creates in the Wedding Mimer, it talks about the idea that Rabba tells them a joke or tells them something to make them laugh. That creates a kesher between the Rebbe and the Talmud, and now that opens up the Talmud's mind, and so now he's able to receive. Now he's able to receive from the Rebbe in a way that he couldn't have before. It makes him more of a makabel. As far as, by the way, when you say milsa de b'dichosa, the truth is, in Gemara terminology, b'dichosa doesn't necessarily mean, I mean, in modern Hebrew, for example, b'dicha means a joke. It could mean that, although in Gemara terminology, a lot of times, the shodesh bodach just means to be happy, so it could mean he told them something happy that would get them in a good frame of mind. I think it might have been, actually, you find in a number of places in Shas, you find where it says, where somebody said something, and achichu alevim arava, they laughed about it in Eretz Yisrael and said it doesn't shtim. The idea being, you know, like this, what makes a joke funny is when you're expecting something in the reality that you live in, and you find something completely different. So you find that funny. Their reality was Torah. So maybe what it is Rabba is telling them, for example, something which it doesn't stim according to the rules of Torah that we know. So for us, we wouldn't find it funny because we don't live in a reality of Torah the way they did. But they would find it funny because it's changing something, trying to change something of the reality that they know, and therefore they'd find it funny and they'd laugh. Maybe, I don't know if that's the kind of thing we're talking about, but it's a possibility. All right. Getting back to Hallel, Tana Rabbanan, Hallel Zeh Mi Omrei. Who first said the Hallel that we say nowadays? So we said before, we said Rabbi Elazar had said that, Rabbi Yossi had said that Moshe and the Jewish people first said it when they came out of the Yamsuf. So now let's talk about we said there were other opinions, so let's talk about that. Rabbi Eliezer and Moshe Yisrael Amruhu B'Shasha Olu B'Shasha Amdu Al Yam. Moshe and the Jewish people said it not when they came out of the Yamsuf, but while they were standing there by the Yamsuf, not knowing what's going to happen. And then the Eivisha tells him, Dabar Abnei Yisrael V'Yisro. Haim Amru, so in particular, they said the Pasuk, Lo Lonu Hashem Lo Lonu, not for our sake, Hashem, not for our sake. In other words, we may not be deserving of it, but do a nes for the sake of your name, Al Chastachal Amitecha, V'Ruach HaKodesh, M'Shiva Ruach HaKodesh, V'Amar Lahen. Sure enough, Ruach HaKodesh answered them with a Pasuk from Yeshaya, Lamani Lamani Eseh. For my sake, I will do it, because, as the Pasuk there continues, Ki Eich Yechel, because how can I allow that there should be a Chilul Hashem? So therefore, so in other words, the answer to Lo Lanu Hashem is that Hashem says, you're right, I won't do it for your sake, but I'll do it for the sake of my name, so it shouldn't be a Chilul Hashem. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Yeshua v'Yisrael Amru v'Shasha Amru Alein Malchut Knan. Rabbi Yehuda says Yeshua and the rest of the Jewish people said it when they were being opposed by the kings of Canaan. Heim Amru Lo Lanu v'Mashiva Chula. So again, they said Lo Lanu, and Hashem answered, I'll do it for my sake. Rashi explains that each of these things, each of these Tanoim, is not necessarily disagreeing with the previous one. We said that Moshe and the Jewish people composed it by the Yamsuf. Rabbi Yehuda is adding that also Yoshua and the Jewish people said it when they were fighting against the Malchut Knan, and then you're going to have the other examples that we go throughout the sugya over here. They all agree with Rabbi Lazar that it was first composed by the Yamsuf. before they cross the Yamsuf. On the other hand, the Rashban says that no. Later on, the Gemara is going to say what we quoted earlier on in the Omud, that the Nevi'im at that time made the Takana, that you should say it for every Tzara and for every Perek and every Tzara, if you're going to say that they all agree that it was said at different major events in Jewish history, then what's the Machloikas? So therefore, so the Rashbam prefers to understand that it means that no, each of these Tanoim learned from his Rebbe when Halal was first composed. So Rabbi Eliezer is telling us it was first composed by the Yamsuf, and Rabbi Yehuda is telling us it was first composed when they're fighting against the Malchi Knan. And the next one holds it was first composed by Devorah and Barak and so forth throughout the different opinions of it. That's according to the Rashbam. I mean, a difficulty with that is then that you have some of the opinions that Gemara is going to mention is that it was well into the time of the first Beis Hamikdash, in the time of Chizkiyahu, or even after it, Hanani, Mishael, Ba'azariah. So what would that mean? And Halal was first composed then. So that's a kasha on the Rashbam. How would he understand that? What are we going to say that it was first composed at that time? So it's talking about all the Nisim, right? But it's talking about all the Nisim, but still, we could say that according to the Rashbam, we're saying that some of these Tanoim are saying that it was only first composed later on. The truth is, actually, I mean, it is a question on the Rashbam. It is interesting, actually, the Malbim has an interesting shita in his Pirush on Tilim. Like this, we said before that all the Kapitel Tilim were composed by David. He says on a pshat level, maybe not necessarily. Given that, I mean, it still had Nevuah during the whole first Beis Hamikdash and the beginning of the second of it. Maybe the Nevi'im of those people still had the ability to compose Kapitlach Tilim that would be included in Tilim. And he actually identifies some Kapitlach as coming from later times than David. Some of them it seems more obvious, like Al Naris Bavel, which the Pashtos comes from after the Churban. The usual explanation is that David himself said it with Ruach HaKodesh about the Churban that's going to be hundreds of years later. But for example, the Malbim writes that Kapitel Samach Vav, for example, is the tefillah that Menashe said after he was captured by the Assyrians and then did tshuva and then was released. And Kapitel Pei Gimel was composed by Yehoshaphat and the Jewish people when a coalition of Goyim were attacking them and so forth. So according to him, you could understand that Ashbam on a very simple level. It means that even, for example, Hanani Mishael Ba'Azariah, they're still living at a time when Nevuah exists. Therefore, they have the ability to compose Kapitlach Tilim that are going to be included in Tilim as we have it. But if we say, as we said before in the Gemara, that David composed all of them, then it becomes a little harder to understand what the Rashbam is saying. Who's talking? Rabbi Heber talks about, okay, I'll have to look. Fine. So far we have two opinions. Next, Rabbi Lazar HaMudoya, Emet Dvoro, Barak, Amruho, B'Shar, Sha'amad Alem, Sisra. Dvoro and Barak first said to him when Sisra was standing against them to attack them. Again, Hey Mamur Loilonu, they asked Hashem, don't do it, we may not have the Sfusim, so don't do it for our sake, but do it for your sake. Ruach HaKadosh, M'Shiva Lahem, M'Shiva, by Meresheim, Lamani, Lamani, Yesem. Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah, Mechizki, Vesiyati, Amruhu, Beshar Shamar Aleim Sanchev. Chizki and his group, the Chachamim of his times, including Yeshaya and others, said it when they were being attacked by Sanchev. Hemam Loilanu, Meshiva Chulu, they said Loilanu, and the Ruach HaKodesh answered them, Lamani, Lamani, yes. Rabbi Akiva, Mechanani, Mishova, Azariah, Amruhu, Beshar Shamar Aleim, Nebuchadnezzar, Harosha, when Nebuchadnezzar was threatening them and going to throw them in the furnace. So they, Hemam Loilanu, Hemam Loilanu, Meshiva Chulu. Rabbi Yosef Aguli, Mordechai and Esther, Amru B'Shar Shaman Aleim Haman Arash. Mordechai and Esther said it when Haman was opposing them. Haman Meloilano Meshiva. So again, according to Rashi, it means all of them agree it was first composed by the Yamsuf, and we're saying different times, different junctures in Jewish history when the Chachamim found it appropriate to say it and to ask Hashem to help us, even if not for our own schus. And each time the Ruach HaKodesh answered them, I'll do it for the sake of making a Kiddush Hashem. According to the Rashbam, it means that each of these Tanoim is saying when Halal was actually composed. As we said before, the Chachamim say that the Nevi'im among the Jewish people composed, made a takana for the Jewish people. That they should be saying it by every perek, meaning every yomtiv. And for every tzara that should not come on the Jewish people, again, meaning if a tzara does happen, chas v'shalom, then they should be saying it. And when they're redeemed, then they say it for the fact that they were redeemed from a tzara or from galus. So according to that, it would mean that we're doing it, we're saying it while the tzara is happening, and then also after we're saved from the tzara, yes. Okay. Amr of Chista. Now let's talk about another point. You mentioned before about hallelujah, whether it's one word or two. Here's a different point let's talk about. Sometimes you have kapitlach tilim that end with the word hallelujah. Sometimes you have ones that begin with the word hallelujah. Sometimes you have both. For example, the kapitlach that we say in morning davening, the beginning from hallelujah, 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 Hashem, each of them ends with hallelujah and the next one begins with hallelujah. So there's no question. It's like that. The one is the end of one kapitl and the other is the beginning of the next kapitl. But when you have a kapitl ends and it says hallelujah and the next kapitl begins, which one does the word hallelujah belong to? So, Amar of Chista, hallelujah soif pirka. The word hallelujah is the end of the previous parak. Rabbi Barav Huna, Amar hallelujah reish pirka. And Rabbi Barav Huna says it's the beginning of the next parak. Amar of Chista, chazvinu lehu letili debeir of Chanan bar Rab. I saw the tilim that they had in the house of the yeshiva of Rav Chanan bar Rab. Yechtivu hallelujah be'emsa pirka. They had the word hallelujah written in the middle between two kapitlach. In other words, they'd have the end of one kapitel, then on a line by itself the word hallelujah, and then the beginning of the next kapitel. Alma mesap galei, which means that Rav Chanan bar Rab had a suffix in those cases. Which one does the hallelujah belong to? So therefore, like they put it on a line of its own between the two kapitlach. Okay. So, Amar of Chanan bar Rava, Hakol Moedim Etilas Hashem Yidaba Pivi Varach Kabbalas Hashem Kachal Elam Vod. That with that capital. Now, remember that capital Tilim really ends with that. We add to it when we daven, when we say we add the pasuk Vanachnu Varach Kam Atu Vadem Hallelujah. That actually comes from a different capital. That comes from Tilim. We do that actually in order to have a chain of Hallelujahs, because you want all the other capitals. Each one ends with Hallelujah and the next one begins. So we want to have a chain of Hallelujahs. Therefore, we add it. But the actual capital itself in Tilim ends with Tilas Hashem Yidaba Pivi Varach Kabbalas Hashem. So when it comes to that, there's no question hallelujah debasri reish pirka. There's no question that the hallelujah after that is the beginning of the next parak, which is how we have it. Right, but in other words, when we say tilim, we finish off tilas Hashem yidaba pivi baruch kabbalas Hashem kachal elam vod. That's it. The word hallelujah belongs to the beginning of the next kapitel. Similarly, by the end of Kapitel Kuf Yud Beis, Rosha Yir of Achoas, it says the Rosha will see and he'll be angry. Shin of Yachrik will grit his teeth like in frustration, or not in frustration actually. Shin of Yachrik means he's gonna grit his teeth like, ooh, I'm gonna get him. And then Venomos is going to melt away because he's not going to be successful. Tavas Rishoyim Tovid, the desire of the Rishoyim is going to be lost. So there also, Hallelujah Debasri, Reish Pirka, the Hallelujah after that is definitely the beginning of a Perek according to everybody. Now, why Taka by those two do we know that for a fact? Marsha explains, when it comes to Tilos Hashem Yidabapi, we know that the Gemara tells us in Brachas that any kapitel that was particularly precious to David, he would begin and end it with the same word or the same phrase. So here, since the kapitel begins Tehillah to David, it's logical that we should say that the last pasuk of it should be Tehillah Hashem Yidabapi. And therefore, that should end with Vivorach Kabbalas Hashem Kachal Elam Vod. And so when it comes to Kapitel Kuf Yud Beis, since it ends with the destruction of the Rishoyim, we know that Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sameach Mapalos and Shal Tzadikim. So therefore, we know the word Hallelujah is going to belong to the next kapitel. But in all the other cases, you have a doubt about it. So, and also, he continues, V'sha'omnim V'veis Hashem, also the pasuk that says, Sha'omnim V'veis Hashem, Hallelujah Debasri Reish Pirka. Also, the Hallelujah after that is the beginning of the next parak. Now, what does that mean, actually? Now, you have, there's Ha'omnim V'veis Hashem Balelos, but that's the second pasuk of the Kapitel Kuf Lamed Daled. You don't have a Hallelujah right after that. Tosfos explains what we're referring to as a pasuk in Kapitel Kuf Lamed Hey, Sha'omnim V'veis Hashem B'chatzres Beis Elokeinu. The next pasuk after that begins with Hallelujah. Now, in our Tilim, that's not the beginning of a new Kapitel at all. But apparently, the Gemara had a Masorah that is actually the beginning of a new kapitel. Now, that means you only have two psukim before it. Tosfos says you can't have a kapitel of two psukim, which is an interesting thing, because we have Kuf Yud Zayin is two psukim. It means, apparently, that Tosfos understood that what we have as Kuf Yud Zayin is actually not a separate kapitel, but the end of the previous kapitel. We have it as a two-pasuk kapitel, but Tosfos apparently didn't have it that way. But when it comes to Kuf Lamed Hey, Tosfos learns, the first, according to what the Gemara is saying over here, the first two psukim of Kuf Lamed Hey really belong to Kuf Lamed Daled. Like this Kuf Lamed Daled is three psukim, and then you begin kapitel Kuf Lamed Hey, Hallelujah, Hallelujah, Hashem, Hashem, Hallelujah, Abdei Hashem, Shoim Nivez, Hashem, Bechatzos, Beis Elokeinu. Tosfos says the Gemara apparently is implying that those first two psukim belong to kapitel Kuf Lamed Daled, and then kapitel Kuf Lamed Hey begins Hallelujah, Ki Tov Hashem. Which we don't have it that way in our Tilims, but the different Masoretis apparently. Okay. Next. Karoi Mosif and Afasevi. Karoi, meaning people who are experts in Mikra, in Tanakh, they added several other ones where we know for a fact that the Hallelujah belongs to the next Kapitel. Minacha Baderech Yishtauk and Yom Rish, the end of Kapitel Kuf Yud, is Hallelujah Debasri Reish Mikra. The next Hallelujah belongs to Kapitel Kuf Yud Aleph. Reish Yishchach Meiras Hashem Seichel Tevach Aleiseyem, also the end of Kapitel Kuf Yud Aleph, Hallelujah Debasri Reish Mikra. So there's a couple more where we know that it belongs to the next Kapitel. So in general, what we have is then, in these cases that the Gemara mentions over here, then the Hallelujah is indeed the beginning of the next Perek. Otherwise, the Hallelujah is the end of the previous Perek. For example, the first place we have Hallelujah in Tehillim is at the end of Kapitel Kuf Dalet. The Gemara tells us in Brachas, actually, that when David saw that Yitamu Chatoi Min Ha'aretz U'Shoyim Ed Einam, then he was motivated to say Hallelujah for the first time. So now, that Hallelujah belongs to the end of Kapitel Kuf Dalet. We don't say Yitamu Chatoi Min Ha'aretz U'Shoyim Ed Einam Bochin Afyas Hashem. Stop. And then the next capital begins, Hallelujah, Hodu Lashem Kitov. No, it's the end of the previous capital. Although I think there are some exceptions to that. Also, Capital Kuf Vav begins, Hallelujah, Hodu Lashem Kitov. Because there, Capital Kuf Hey ends, but Amma Kala Amma Hallelujah. So there you have a Hallelujah at the end and a Hallelujah at the beginning of the next one. Okay. Bigmore says, Neima Katanoi. Should we say that this whole business about whether Hallelujah is the end of the previous Perek or the beginning of the next one is actually Machlokes Tanoim. Because we learned in our Mishnah, Heichanoi, where how far do you say Hallel during Magid, before the second cup? So we said, Beshama says you just say the first chapter of Hallel, and Beshillel says you also say the second chapter. The Tanya Idoch, now you have a different Braisa that phrases it differently. Ad Heichanoi, Beshama Emim Ad Betseisi Sroma Mitzroyim. The other braisa, it seems to be phrasing it the same way, but it's saying that Beshamah says you say until the Tzeis Yisroel Mitzrayim, which sounds like it means up to and not including. In other words, you stop by the end of the previous capital, you don't actually say the Tzeis Yisroel Mitzrayim. Beshillel is saying you say that entire capital as well, until Chalomish Lamayne Moyim, and then stop. You don't say the words, Loy Lono Hashem Loy Lono. Now, the end of Kuf Yud Gimel has a Hallelujah. And Moshiv Yakeres Habayis, Eman Banim Smech, Hallelujah. My love, Bahokam Mifli. So wouldn't that mean that that's the machloikas between the braises? Why are the braises phrasing it differently? Because Lamanda Omar Ad Eman Banim Smecha, the first braise or Mishnah, which says that Beshama says you say till Eman Banim Smecha, Sover Hallelujah Reish Pirka. So he has to say until Eman Banim Smecha, he can't say until Hallelujah, because according to him, Hallelujah is the beginning of the next capital. According to him, it goes Hallelujah, Betsesi Siyom and Mitzrayim. Whereas if you say that you say until B'tzeis Yisrael, then it means you say everything including the word Hallelujah, because according to that, the word Hallelujah belongs to the previous capital. So then that would be the Machlokas. So then in that case, if that's the Machlokas, then why are Rav Chista and Rav Bar Rav Huna arguing independently on it? They should just be quoting the Braises, and they should just be quoting the respective Braises, each for their side. So the Gemara says, no. Rav Chista, Matarat Satanei, Rav Chista will answer both braises and say that they go according to his shita. Dekula Amma Sabri Hallelujah Seif Pirka. Everybody agrees that the word Hallelujah belongs to the end of the previous capital. Meshiri Akeh Sabayis Ema Banam Smecha Hallelujah. Manda Amma Ad Betzeis Yisrael. So if you say the braise that says that you say up to Betzeis Yisrael Shapir, then it means exactly what it sounds like. You say up to and not including the words Betzeis Yisrael. Meaning ad veloy ad bechlal, umanda omad ema banim smecha. He means ad v'ad bechlal. He means you're including the words ema banim smecha. And if you said that you say until betzeis, so then you would mistakenly understand that it means you have to actually say the words betzeis yisrael mitzrayim, because that second braisa uses ad to mean v'ad bechlal, to include what we're saying. So therefore, necessarily he has to stop with the words ema banim smecha. So the question is, V'neima ad Hallelujah. Okay, but let him say till Hallelujah. Why is he saying until Eman Banim Smecha? V'chitem Adolio didn't hey Hallelujah. So you're going to say there's a lot of Hallelujahs in Hallel. Which one do you mean? V'neima Hallelujah shall Eman Banim Smecha. The Braisa could specify and say, you go until the Hallelujah after the words Eman Banim Smecha. So how would Rav Chista understand that? Then this is Kasha. You're right, that's Kasha on his Shitta. How would he understand the Braisa? Okay, by the way, the Rashbam points out, once we have that the Brises was, if we started by saying that the Brises are arguing on the question of whether Hallelujah belongs to the previous capital or the next one, then we would say, what about the next one where they say you go into Chalomish Lamayne Moyim or Loilanu, respectively? So, okay, so that would be, in other words, that once we're talking in terms of the end of the first capital, then we talk in terms of the end of the second capital. Or once we talk about in terms of the beginning of the second, then we talk in terms of the beginning of the third one, in order to be consistent. But we're mainly focusing on the fact that we're saying in this Shammai's Shitta, whether we go until Eim Abonim Smecha, or whether we go to Betzeis Yisrael. So okay, according to Rav Chisda, though, it's a question why if both Brises agree that Hallelujah is the end of the previous Perek, then why not specify and say you go until the Hallelujah after the words Eim Abonim Smecha? And Rabbi Bar Avuna Matayis Tameh. Rabbi Bar Avuna also will explain the Braises according to his Shita. The Kula Ama Hallelujah Reish Perek. Everybody agrees that Hallelujah belongs to the next Perek. In other words, the previous Perek begins. The previous pasuk ends Eim Abonim Smecha, and the next one begins Hallelujah Betzeis Yisrael Mitzrayim. Mander Ama Eim Abonim Ad Eim Abonim Smecha Shaper. So the Braises that says that Beis Shammai says you go to Eim Abonim Smecha. Very simple. It means exactly that, because according to them, Eim Abonim Smecha is the end of the capital. Umanda Oma Ad Betzeis Yisrael, whereas the Braisa that says that you say to Betzeis Yisrael, why does he say that? Why doesn't he say to Hallelujah Betzeis Yisrael? Sova Ad Velay Ad Bechlal, he means Ad Velay Ad Bechlal. He means you don't actually have to say the words, you don't actually have to say the beginning of that capital. So again, the question is Venema Ad Hallelujah. So why doesn't the Tana of that Braisa say that you say up to Hallelujah, meaning up to and not including the word Hallelujah, because Ad V'loy Ad B'chal, V'chitema D'loy Adin and Hey Hallelujah, you're going to say again that you don't know which Hallelujah, V'nema Ad Hallelujah Sheh B'teis Yisrael, just say it means the Hallelujah before the words B'teis Yisrael. So again, Kasha, so that's a Kasha on Rabbi Bar Avuna's Shita, so neither one of them has a straightforward way of understanding the Braises. But nevertheless, we could for enter, so we don't have to say that they could have just repeated that machloikas, and it would be clear that they argue on it. We could say that both Braises could be kvetchdain to say according to their shita. So the Maraisa, mostly we hold like Rav Chisda. Usually Hallelujah, by default, Hallelujah is the end of the previous Perek. Unless you have a Hallelujah at the end of one at the beginning of the other, then definitely those belong to the respective Kapitlach. Or the various exceptions that we said at the end of Amud Aleph, where the Hallelujah belongs to the beginning of the new Perek. But other than that, we put Hallelujah at the end of the previous Perek, and therefore, in this particular case, the Hallelujah belongs to the end of the first Perek of Hallel, and it finishes Eim Abonim Smecha Hallelujah. We said in the mission of a Choisim Begula, you finish off Magid, you finish off those two Kapitlach of Hallel with a Bracha of Geula. So according to Tarfon, it's just a short bracha. It's just a shagolon of a gola. So the same with Jaim, v'gionu alayla zelecha b'matzo moru. There's no chasima, no end bracha, according to him. But according to Rabbi Akiva, we said you continue as we do in our Haggadahs, Kein Hashem Elokeinu, Velakeinu, Yagienu, etc. And you finish off with a bracha, Baruch Hashem, Gal Yisrael. So we're going to talk about that. Interesting thing, by the way, I didn't mention yesterday. The Rambam's shita is that in a way the halacha is like both of them. When the Bais Mikdash is standing, you just do Rabbi Tarfon's nusach of the bracha. Where after the Bais Mikdash was destroyed, then we say Rabbi Akiva's nusach, where we're asking that Hashem should bring us back to the Bais Mikdash and allow us to eat from the Psachim and the Zvachim again. So, Amar Rava, Krishma v'Hallel Gal Yisrael. When it comes to the bracha at the end of Krishma, before Shemana Esrei, and when it comes to the bracha here at the end of Hallel, the nusach is Gal Yisrael, that Hashem redeemed Yisrael in the past. Difloisa, on the other hand, in Shemana Esrei, the nusach is Goyo Yisrael, that Hashem redeems in present tense the Jewish people. Tzloisa means davening, but davening, tefillah, unspecified means Shemana Esrei. My time is the Rachmini. Why is Ninu? Why is that? Because in Shemana Esrei, you're asking for Hashem's Rachmin. So you're davening for the future, that the word Goyo Yisrael means not just that Hashem redeems now, but that Hashem will redeem the Jewish people, because you're asking, actually, the Bracha Re'e is not really talking so much about Golos and Geula. That's later on in Shemana Esrei. It's really talking about the individual problems that a person faces throughout their life, but still, we're asking Hashem to redeem us from those. So it's not just Goyo Yisrael in the past that Hashem redeemed us, but Goyo Yisrael that Hashem will redeem us in the future. Today, if we do it like that, there's an interesting story involving the Oy of Yisrael, the after Rav, in this connection, where one time, not long before Pesach, there was a Yid where he had trouble paying the rent on his inn, so the local poet sent people in there to trash the whole place. So there's a warning to him. Anyway, so after with Shabbos HaGadol, the guy decides to go to Apta and listen to the Rav's Drasha. He comes over there, and he hears the Rav talking about this Goyal Yisrael versus Goyal Yisrael. That's not just Goyal Yisrael. The Eibishter redeemed us in the past by Yitzhak Mitzrayim, but Goyal Yisrael, the Eibishter redeems us on an ongoing basis. And he goes on to say, even, for example, a Yid that his place was just trashed by Goyim because he can't pay his rent, then still the Eibishter can save him. So the Yid is ecstatic about that, and he's dancing and singing the whole way home, Goyal Yisrael. And to make a long story short, the Taka, the Eibishter helped him, and the Paritz ended up having a shtickle rachmanos on him, and then forgiving him the debt and allowing him to continue running the place. So, and then the story finishes off that after that, the Yid one time, okay, the next year, the Yid came to the Apter Rav with Moritz Chittim and stuff for Pesach, and he tells him, Rebbe, this is Goyal Yisrael money. Yeah. Okay. Similarly, Omer Reb Zeira. So similarly, Reb Zeira says here is a distinction also between between similar brachas. The kiddusha, when we're making kiddush on Shabbos and Yom Tov, we say Hashem kiddushonu b'mitzvosav in the past tense that Hashem made us holy with His mitzvahs. If it's Ivanu, who doesn't belong over here, that you have in other books on mitzvahs, but not in kiddush. But Hashem kiddushonu b'mitzvosav that Hashem made us holy with His mitzvahs in past tense. The tzloisa, on the other hand, davening and Shabbos davening, we say kadoshenu b'mitzvosecha, make us holy with Your mitzvahs. Again, my time the rachmi ninu. Again, because we're asking Hashem for Rachmim, so we're not just thanking Hashem for the past, we're asking Hashem to help us in the future to become holy through His mitzvahs. Okay, Omer of Achba Yaakov, it's Sorech Shiyazdu Yitzhiyas Mitzrayim B'Kiddush Hayoyim. By the way, speaking of Kiddush, you have to mention Yitzhiyas Mitzrayim in it. Because Ksiva Cholman Tizkar Es Yoyim, Uchtiva Tzim Zohar Es Yoyim HaShabbos HaKadshay. So we see there's a connection between the remembering of Yitzhiyas Mitzrayim and the remembering of Shabbos. So we do that. In Kiddush, we say Zeichel Yitzhiyas Mitzrayim. And in davening, so you actually have, there's a paragraph, that the paragraph Yismuchu, which ends off Zeichel Yitzhiyas Mitzrayim. So actually, by the daytime Shabbos davening, we don't. We just say, we, Chemdas Yom Oisei Korosa. Well, no, Zeichel Maisei Bereshis, we leave out, that's something else. But, no, we have the paragraph Yismuchu in Shabbos davening that mentions Yismuchu Machos Hashem and Shabbos davening, and it finishes off Zeichel Yitzhiyas Mitzrayim. In the Veltische Minhag, in standard Nusach Ashkenaz, actually, they don't have that in most of the Tfilos of Shabbos. They only have that, I think, in Musaf of Shabbos. Or one of the other Tfilos of Shabbos. So how that fits with our Gemara over here, I'm not sure. But Amar Rav Bar Shila. So Rav Bar Shila says here's another distinction between different parts of davening. In davening, in Shemin Esri, when you get to the Baruch Es Tzemach, the end of it is Matzniach Keren Yeshua, that Hashem makes grow the horn, meaning the power of saving, which means that Hashem is going to bring Mashiach. On the other hand, the Haftarta, the bracha that we say in after the Haftarta, which has a similar theme, where we ask that Hashem, where we ask that Hashem should restore Malchus based David, there we end off Mogin David. Actually, it's interesting. Now, in our Nusach and standard Nusachos that we have nowadays, there's really no connection between those brachas, except that both of them refer to Malchus Beis David. In the Rambam's Nusach, which you can find at the end of Seder Ava, he actually has the bracha over there. So, like this, we have the brachas after the Haftarah. We have one of them is Samchenu Hashem Alekenu Beliyo Anav Yavdechol Malchus Beis David Meshichecha, and we finish off Mogin David. The Rambam's nusach of it is actually very similar to the bracha Es Tzemach in davening. His nusach is Es Tzemach David Avdecha Meiris Hatzmiach. And then he finishes off Baruch Atah Hashem Magen David. So according to him, there's a real connection, the Gemara is saying over here, even though you're starting with the same nusach as Tzemach David Avdecha, but in Shemana Esri, you finish Matzmiach Keren Yeshua, and after that, you end off Magen David. So why do we say Magen David? There's a pasuk where Hashem, where the Navi tells David in Hashem's name, I will make for you a great name, like the names of the great ones. So Tanya of Yosef, Zerushalayim, Magen David, this refers to the fact, just like we say Magen Abraham, we say Magen David. That's the Hashem promised David that he's going to have that greatness. So in this connection, Amar Rav Shimon Lakish, when the Pasuk says, Hashem promised Avraham, the Eschol Goy Gadol, I will make you into a great nation, Zerushayim, Elakei Avraham, this means, this refers to the fact that we say Elakei Avraham. Usually what it is usually the name of Hashem is not connected with an individual person. Usually we talk about the name of Hashem is connected with the Jewish people as a whole. Elakei Yisrael, there's expressions like that. So the fact that the name of Hashem is attached specifically to Avraham as an individual means that in effect he's a whole nation, because he includes the whole Jewish nation within him. So that's the Eschol Goy Gadol. Va'avarecha, the positive Hashem continues, I will bless you. Zerushayim Melekei Yitzchak, that refers to the fact that we also say Lekei Yitzchak, which is a bracha to Avraham, that not only he himself had that relationship with Hashem, but also his son did. And when it continues, I will make your name great. Zerushayim Melekei Yaakov, that refers to the fact that we say Lekei Yaakov. Now, Yahu Choismin Bekolon, you would think that then you finish off the bracha, Barachat Hashem Magen Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. No, Tamad Lema Vehiye Bracha. No, therefore, the Pasuk finishes off. Hashem tells him, you will be a bracha, meaning, b'chach choismin, v'ein choismin b'kolon. We finish off the bracha only with your name, not with all of them. Now, actually, the Rashbam says, what it is, really, we couldn't use all three of them anyway, because you have a concept called ein choismin b'shtayim. You don't finish off a bracha with two different statements. So actually, some of the Mephoshim say that what the Gemara means is, if it hadn't been for the Sveye bracha, you could sometimes finish Mogen Avraham, and sometimes Mogen Yitzchak, and sometimes Mogen Yaakov, but like this, since it says Ve'yei Bracha, you always finish Mogen Avraham. But the point is, all three of the others are mentioned in that pasuk, they are the Gedolim, which the Navi promises David, that you will have a name, Shema Gedolim Asher Ba'aretz, and we accomplish that by we have a Bracha that finishes Mogen David. We'll continue tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, with more about the Nusach of Davening in different places, and then we'll continue with more about the Seder and other topics. Rashi and Chumash also mentioned it. Yeah. I don't think we had mentioned in the Gemara, but it could be. I don't know. Okay. All right. Shabbat, everyone.